Good morning. It is August the 4th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message, In Your Service. And my two passages of scripture comes from Psalm 68, verses 1 through 6. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And my other passage of scripture comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May God bless the hearing of his word. In your service. You know, if you fly or drive into Washington, D.C., there is a stone obelisk at the National Mall that literally towers over the entire city. It stands a little over 555 feet. From the lobby to the observation level, it is 50 stories. Visitors can take the elevator or, if they so choose, they can walk up the 896 steps to the top. Now, if you're guessing which monument I'm speaking about, let me tell you that this past 4th of July, my family and I watched the fireworks celebration with hundreds of thousands of other visitors at the National Mall. Off to the west of us was the Washington Monument. And behind and above it, the fireworks lit up the night sky to the amusement of all. I read where Zig Ziglar told the story once when he was visiting Washington, D.C. and waiting in line to go into the Washington Monument, that as he got closer, the guides told all the people that were waiting in line that the hour was 2 hours. The wait was 2 hours to ride the elevator to the top of the monument. But then Zig Ziglar goes on to say what the guide said to those who were next to him. There is no one waiting to go to the top if you're willing to take the stairs. So many people have asked this question, what is the secret to greatness in life? Now, obviously, the response will be based upon the audience we're asking. For some people, if you were to go to Wall Street, they would say money is the secret to greatness in life, and lots of it. If you were to go to Washington, D.C., they would say the political clout and know-how is the secret to greatness in life. If you were to go to Hollywood, some would say beauty and youth is the secret to greatness in life. And maybe if you go to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, some would say freedom and courage and liberty is the secret to greatness in life. Now, those are all fine answers to a very thought-provoking question. There's nothing wrong with those answers. But I would venture a guess and say that the greatest human being to ever live had a different answer to greatness. This man said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." That answer given by the most powerful, humble, and greatest person in human history said that greatness and success in the kingdom of God is radically different than what people define as greatness in the world. And that is true whether we lived in the first century or true in the 21st century. The secret to greatness in the kingdom of God isn't how many people serve you, but how many people do you serve on behalf of Jesus Christ? I want to ask everyone a rhetorical question. When you go to church and you go to worship, are you more interested in being served by the choir, by the pastor, by the usher, by the Sunday school teacher? Or are you more interested in being a servant in some way, capacity, or form for Christ? Let me share with you this humorous story. A second grade teacher asked her students a very simple question. What do you do to help at home? And one little girl said that she helps with doing the dishes. Another little boy said that he cleans his room. And another child said that she feeds their household cat. Everyone in that second grade class gave some kind of answer to the teacher except one little boy. The teacher asked Timmy, What does he do to help out at home? And he said, rather brusquely, "I stay out of the way." A Gallup poll was conducted regarding research and data among various churches and denominations. And they discovered that only 10% of church members are active in any kind of personal ministry in their respective church. Again, it doesn't matter what the denomination was. The percentages were basically the same across the board, 10%. They also discovered during that same poll that 50% of all church members in this country have little or no interest in any ministry in the church. And I think that is sad, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think that's pathetic. I believe, just like the Apostle Paul said, that every single church member and worshiper should be involved in some kind of ministry serving the Lord and their neighbor, or their family, or their community, or their nation. Now let's get a big picture from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's get that 35,000 level, high level view of what Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, and in all reality, what he is communicating and saying to Christians today. Almighty God calls us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve and minister to others. Let me read again verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Ministry and being in service is our reason, our core reason for being a church and the service we offer as a Christian. The Lord Jesus calls each one of us to make a difference, and Christ wants all of us to serve him as he has made us with our particular skills, our desires, our aptitudes, the talents that we have from God, the skill sets that separate us from others. Now, as many of you know, not everyone, in fact, the vast majority, does not have a calling to be a pastor or an evangelist or to work in a church in some capacity. But regardless of that fact, Christians of all stripes and sizes and backgrounds and education are called to be of service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we must never, ever lose sight of that salient fact. Now, not only are we called to serve and minister to others, but we also have to remember that in our service, it is by grace that empowers us to serve others. Let me read Paul's letter to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. In the Bible, the word service and ministry can be interchangeable. A servant in the Bible is a minister, and a minister in the Bible is a servant. Not surprisingly, the English word minister derives from a Latin word for servant. Christ saved you and I so that we can serve in the church, but also outside of the church. I read another pastor say it this way: you were not saved by God to sit, soak, and sour. And boy, isn't that the truth. The Lord desires all of his called people to worship together collectively so that we can serve in the church as needs arise, whatever those needs may be. Some people are prayer warriors. Some people are fantastic at listening to others. Others are encouragers, and others offer help. The Lord calls us not only to serve in the church, but also outside of the church. So it's not either or, it's both and. So whether we have a servant ministry heart, we must remember that we don't teach, we don't preach, that we are not redeemed, that we are not saved by our good works or by our service to others. And that's something that we have to be mindful of. That by God's grace, we serve others. So not only are we called to serve and minister to others, and we realize that it is grace that has filled our lives that empowers us to serve, we also realize that through the Holy Spirit, we have this ability, this strength, this divine persona to serve others. Let me read again verse 7 and 8 from Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Everyone has gifts from Christ. Now, we do not have the same gifts, which is very good, is it not? When you think about it, God does not waste anything. Spiritual gifts are not given for simply our enjoyment and use alone, but they are given for God's employment and use. Now think about it this way. What happens when you receive a gift from someone, and that gift could be a gift card, it could be a card in general, or maybe some other small gift. And let's say that gift card, or that card in general, remains tucked in your dresser, it's buried under your clothes, and you completely forget about it. It doesn't matter how much money was spent on that gift. If that gift remains unopened and unused, it is absolutely useless. Folks, that principle applies to the church. Whether it's a small church, a medium-sized church, or a large church, we need to remember and make sure that whatever you and I do for God in the church, that two facts are always true. Number one, whatever your calling is, whatever your skill set is, whatever you feel passionate about that you believe the Lord is calling you to do. Number one, ask yourself, do you have the ability and the skills for it from God? And do you have a passion for it as well? Many churches are desperate for help. And sadly, they will grab anyone for a particular need or a particular ministry. And sometimes that's not a good fit. Having the attitude of a servant goes against our natural human nature. Because in all reality, we don't want to serve others. We prefer to be served. Am I right? Let's be honest. Many people, when searching for a church, will ask themselves, how can this church meet my needs? And some of these needs are legitimate, so I'm not being dismissive of human needs and going to the right church. I think in most circumstances, that is a fair and legitimate question to ask. However, as we mature in our Christian faith, at some point, you will ask another question of yourself. How can I be used in this church to meet the needs of others? Who is going to meet my needs, or whose needs can I meet? In other words, that's another way of saying it. By the way, I can tell you who will meet your needs. When we begin to serve and meet the needs of the church and others outside of the church, Christ will take care of your needs as well. Almighty God is searching for men and women from all walks of life, all life experiences, all backgrounds, to serve in the church and outside of the church. Leonard Bernstein was an American conductor, composer, pianist, and music educator. He was considered by many to be one of the greatest composers and conductors in the 20th century. Now, for me personally, the music that I am most familiar from Leonard Bernstein is the music for the Walt Disney movie Peter Pan, and vaguely, to some degree, West Side Story. But he is known for much more than just those two. He was asked a very salient question, and the question is this: what is the most difficult position in the orchestra to play? And without batting an eye, without any hesitation, he said to his questioner, this second fiddle. Think about that. There are lots of people, both inside and outside of the church, that want to be the head honcho, the chief, the senior pastor, but not many people want to be a scout or a soldier or a lay servant. Let me finish by reading again from Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. To all my listening audience, are you in His service? Amen.